these next few weeks, because I'll be doing services, not only this one, the next two after this. And then David will be doing Wednesday night, and Autumn will be doing next Wednesday night. And we are going to focus on one subject, and the subject is going to be righteousness. So we're going to be coming at you from all angles, I believe, because we're all different, and we're going to attack this subject. We're going to unpack it for you so that you are understanding this huge subject that has been attacked, that people don't understand, yet it is so vitally important for the believer to understand that you are the righteousness of God in Christ. One of the verses that I learned years ago when I got saved in 92, my pastor was big on confession and saying confessions, and I am the righteousness of God in Christ was one of them. Did I understand it? Do I still understand it completely? No. But I believe the Word of God. And because I believe the Word of God, I believe what it says about me. Some days I choose through my words to not speak what I believe. And to that, I ask the Lord to forgive me. However, God's Word is still true. And so, for you right now, everything that I present in the Word, it's not my ideas, okay? I have ideas, but they're not ones you want to hear. I want you to hear what the Word says, and together we're going to grow in this subject. It's huge. And I'll guarantee you all of us together aren't going to even hint of it, okay? And pastors taught on this subject, so some things you may hear I say, you heard him say. But nevertheless, the subject is ginormous, and it's important. I want you right now to say to yourself, in your heart, I'm going to hear from you, Lord, on this subject. Because I'm going to tell you what, without this being solid within you, it's going to hinder you. This is one of the reasons that I felt the Lord has compelled me to share this message this morning, and for us to share it together. It's because I feel like the believers collectively overall are walking in a place that is far, I hate to put scales on it, but far below where God has called us to walk. As you know, we've been doing the authority of the believer in Our Lady's Bible study, so that's in me as well, but they go hand in hand, and we'll talk about that in a little bit. But righteousness is, we walk too much in shame as a body. We walk too much defeated as a body. We walk too much confused and hindered. Whatever package you want to put on it, we're hindered from the blessings of the Lord. And I'm not saying it's the total reason, but I believe it's a big part of why we don't walk in the victory is we don't understand that we are righteous. Too much of the world says, this is righteous. I'm better than you. But I'm going to tell you, knowing you're righteous is this. You're humbled. You're humbled. Humbled to know you're righteous. Oh my. Father, give us revelation of this. You're humbled when you know you're righteous. It is not this. And anybody who does that or displays that as a believer just is ignorant to this position of righteousness. You're ignorant. And it's not necessarily your something you've intended to be. You don't know what the Word says. You don't understand it. So we're going to look at a lot of scriptures. And I'm going to read out of the NLT because I like reading out of that. And I think it brings it clear out. I don't see a lot of discrepancy. So, you know, if you want to fight with Pastor when he gets home, tell him your wife's reading out of that unsaved version of the Bible, whatever you want to tell him. I don't care. But I'm reading out of it, and I love how it brings things clear to us and expounds on, you know, not, I'm one who likes to read and look at the Greek or the Hebrew of the word too. And so I do that. And a lot of these verses bring it out in the NLT. So I don't have a lot of, I'm not challenged by it. But anyway, just so you know, I will be reading out of that for the purpose of you following along. We have to believe what the Word says in order to receive from the Word. A lot of times we don't understand things, so we disregard it. And we shouldn't disregard it. We can put it on a shelf. We can set it aside. But don't disregard it as, I don't believe it. Believe it, because it's in the Word. Why is it so important that you know that you're righteous? We're going to answer some of these questions today, some of them, I believe. Why is it important that we know that we're righteous? Why does knowing this truth affect our walk with the Lord? Because it does. When you know you're righteous, it affects your walk with the Lord. I already told you once, it humbles you. It puts you down your knees. Oh, God, I'm right. You've qualified me to be right in your sight. It's humbling. So humbling. And then, so we're gonna see how this affects our walk with the Lord. But what happens to the believer that grows in this knowledge of this truth versus the one who stays ignorant to it? I believe we're going to bring some of that out, and you're going to see some of the answers to these questions in this as I share. There's a power in revelation of any truth in the Word of God. When you get a revelation of a truth in the Word of God, there's power attached to it. It's like that. Oh, you go, oh, wow, I see it. That's power of God being released, the truth being released within you that opens your eyes, your spiritual eyes to that truth. And you're like, wow, I see it. I get it. So there's power in revelation of the Word of God. And so when revelation of this truth that you're righteous, power is released in you. Power to walk victorious. Power to accomplish what God's called you to do. Power to stand boldly in His presence. I mean, lots of things that happen when we get the power of the revelation of Him and what He's done for us. So, we're going to talk about what righteousness is through various ways of defining it. But I want you to understand the reason, before we get into the definitions, the reason that the Father has made this place, this position of righteousness, right standing with Him, is because He's about a relationship with you. He wants to have a relationship with you. It's never changed from Adam. When He had Adam, when He created Adam, it was about relationship with His creation. It hasn't changed. His original intention hasn't changed. He still wants a relationship with you. But because He's holy, and Adam fell, and we're going to read some of it here in a minute, and the progression of all that and what happened, and I'm not going to go through a whole lot of detail, trusting that most of you understand some of it, but we're going to read a good portion of scripture that's going to kind of lay that out for us. But in the end of it, He wanted to reinstate us for a relationship. Oh, He longs for a relationship with you and me. He longs for it. He longs for it so much, and I'm going to say this, and don't tune me out because it sounds so something you've heard 100 times, but He gave His Son for you to have that relationship. He gave it all to have this relationship. Well, this life of Christ reinstated us to be before a holy God when we didn't deserve it. You understand? Because it's about a relationship. He wants to talk with you. He wants to bless you. He wants to commune with you. He wants to show you things. Oh, He wants to show us things. He can't when we don't understand the position we're in of right standing. Because when you are skewed by the things around you and you don't see yourself right, those things hinder you from hearing and seeing and knowing. Okay. I've said enough about that. We're going to get into some scriptures here so you can see it. First of all, I want to define the word righteousness, either way. Do you know this subject is huge in the Bible because it's in there over 800 times? The word righteousness is in the Bible over 800 times. 617 in the Old Testament. So don't say, oh, the Old Testament doesn't have it. It started with Noah. That was the first account of the word righteous. And there's other, of course, scriptures, and that could be another message. However, there were 617 in the Old, 211 in the New. It's a big subject, isn't it? Wouldn't you say? I mean, it's not just five or six. It's a lot. 800, over 800 times in the Bible. He talks about righteous. Do you think that means it's important to him? I think it is. And I think I'm firmly convinced until we get it solid in us that we're righteous and we get it. We get all the religious teaching out of us, the wrong teaching out of us, and we look truly at the word, we're going to walk differently. We're going to hear differently. We're going to see differently. We're going to feel differently even. It's an important subject to God. So, righteous means, one that pastors said, I believe, many times, its ability to stand in God's presence without a sense of guilt, shame, condemnation, or inferiority. Stand in his presence that way. Another one would be righteous is a free gift of God provided by Jesus at Calvary through the grace of God. Martin Luther said it this way, we do not become righteous by doing righteous deeds. Let me say again, we do not become righteous by doing righteous deeds, but having been made righteous, we do righteous deeds. The dictionary defines righteous as morally right or justifiable, acting in an upright moral way, virtuous. That's just a dictionary definition of one I found. The Hebrew, which is over 600 times in there, and there may be, I want to say there was four different Hebrew words used for righteous, but they all, you know, piggybacked on each other. So basically it's just lawful righteous is what it means in the Hebrew. And then in the Greek, which is our New Testament, which is written over 200 times, it means innocent, just, and right. So when we talk about being righteous, we're talking about your innocence. You're justified. A lot of times you'll see in Scripture justification, justify, same connotation, same word, righteous. Okay? Don't let those things trip you up. They all mean the same thing, generally speaking. So, righteousness is not holiness. So don't let that confuse you. Holiness is your conduct. But righteousness is what you were made. Righteousness is the nature of God. Are you glad? Are you glad that God made you righteous? So remember again, like I said, this is all about relationship. The Father wants a relationship with you. He's given his Son to reinstate a way that he can commune with you and me, a way that he can operate through us. And this purpose is way bigger than just a little bless me club. We want blessed by the Father, and he's so wanting to do it for us. But it's beyond that. We're going to talk about it in a minute. Let's turn to Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5. We're going to read a little bit here. I want to lay this down. We're going to lay this down to launch off of here. Romans chapter 5. I want you to know that we become righteous when we accepted Christ. When you said, yes, Jesus, I surrender my life to you. I make you the Lord of my life. You are made righteous. What does that mean, Irene? I know it seems so. What does it mean? We're going to hopefully answer that question before you leave today. And even though you may know this, some of you who've walked with the Lord for a long time and you've heard this message many, many times, or maybe even taught this message, don't shut me down, because the word's living and the Lord wants to take you to another level and he wants to reveal more to you. Okay? And if you think you got light on it all, sorry to say, you might be wrong. And God has more for you. So, in Romans chapter 5, I want to begin in verse 12. I know it's going to be a little bit, but it's important. I feel that we need to get on the same page. And so let's just read this. And it's in the NLT, so it might sound a little different to you as well. When Adam sinned, sin entered the world, which we talked about this whole thing, the whole plan of relationship with the Father got disrupted when Adam sinned. It was about relationship. He wanted to walk with Adam. He did walk with Adam. He talked with Adam. It hasn't changed. He wants to walk with us, and he wants to talk to us. He loves us so very much. This love is no love that human love could ever display. Adam's sin brought death, so death spread to everyone, for everyone sinned. Yes, people sinned even before the law was given. But it was not counted as sin because there was not yet any law to break. Still, everyone died from the time of Adam to the time of Moses, even those who did not disobey an explicit commandment of God as Adam did. Now, Adam is a symbol, a representation of Christ, who was yet to come. But there is a great difference between Adam's sin and God's gracious gift. Did you hear that? There's a great difference between Adam's sin and God's gracious gift. For the sin of this one man, Adam, brought death to many. But even greater is God's wonderful grace and his gift of forgiveness to many through this other man, Jesus Christ. And the result of God's gracious gift is very different from the result of that one man's sin. The result of God's gracious gift is very different from the result of that one man's sin. Let me say it again. And the result of God's gracious gift is very different from the result of that one man's sin. It's different. Don't put them together. For Adam's sin led to condemnation, but God's free gift leads to our being made right with God. Even though we are guilty of many sins. For the sin of this one man, Adam, caused death to rule over many. But even greater is God's wonderful. Here's that greater again. God wants us to see it. It's greater. It's greater. It's greater. Oh my, it's good. But even greater is God's wonderful grace and his gift of righteousness. It's a gift. It's a gift for all who will receive it. This gift you have to receive. You have to receive this gift of righteousness. Meaning, believe it. Believe it. This gift that's been bestowed upon you to be in right standing with the Father. Let me read that again. I'm sorry. I get off on one word and get distracted. But even greater, God's wonderful grace and his gift of righteousness for all who receive it will live in triumph. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Are you happy about that? I'm happy about it. For all who receive it, if you receive it, yes, Lord, I receive your gift of righteousness today. Guess what's going to happen to you? Look at that. You're going to live in triumph over sin and death through this one man, Jesus Christ. You're going to live in triumph over sin. Oh, no, I sin every day, Irene. Oh, well, There's a wonderful scripture in the Word that says, if we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Cleanse us from all unrighteousness. When you sin, He already got it covered. Because you can triumph over it. Because you know you're righteous. You know that He's made a way for you to reinstate that place with Him. Amen? We triumph over it. We triumph over it. Sin does not master you unless you allow it to master you. You know that. Don't say you have to sin. Don't say you have to do these things. Oh, no, 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 no. But see, if you don't know you're righteous, you're not going to step up to the plate of what you've been called to be and to do. Because you walk in this, I'm a sinner. I sinned. It's called condemnation. It keeps you down. It keeps you below where God's called you to be. When you know you're righteous, you're like, yeah, I sin. But you know what? I also know what His Word says. And I'm reinstated. And I'm right with You, Father. And I thank You that I come boldly to You right now. See the difference? Instead of, oh, yeah, I know I'm righteous. But, you know, I sinned. I did that. There's a difference. I know I'm righteous. It's not this righteous. It's this righteous. Thank You, Father, for making me righteous. Yes, I'm sorry, verse 18. Yes, Adam's one sin brings condemnation for everyone, but Christ's one act of righteousness brings a right relationship. There's that word, a right relationship. Christ's one act of righteousness brings a right relationship with God. Do you see it? What Christ did brings you in a right relationship with God. You didn't deserve it. You didn't work for it. You can never work for it. You can never do anything that will satisfy the Father. Christ did. Say thank You, Jesus. Why do we fight it? Just accept the free gift of righteousness that He's given to you through Christ. And it's about relationship. Because Christ's one act of righteousness brings a right relationship with God and a new life for everyone. This new life we got when we said yes to Jesus. Because one person disobeyed God, many became sinners. But because one other person obeyed God, what does it say? Well, yours might say different than mine. But many, many will be made righteous. Are you thankful? Are you thankful that you've been made righteous? If you are in the kingdom of God and you've said yes to Jesus, you've been made righteous. Irene isn't saying this. I mean, Irene is saying this. But the Bible, Irene is saying what the Bible says. Do you see it in your Bible or is it just in my Bible? You've been made righteous. What does that mean? You've been made right in the sight of the Father. You don't have to be condemned. You don't have to walk condemned, shamed, belittled. You don't have to live with the guilt of the sin or things that were done to you or you did to others. You don't have to live there because you've been made righteous. That means when the Father sees you, He sees the blood of Jesus poured out on Calvary's cross for you. And He says, I accept you. I want that relationship with you. I don't see that mess. I see the blood and I see what the Lord Jesus did, and I say yes. Talk to me, fellowship with me, let me bless you. Oh my church, we need to be happy about this. This is good news. This is good news. Oh my, God wants to talk to you today. I believe too much of us are feeling beat down. I think too much of us, too many of us, should I say, live with guilt, live with condemnation, live with thinking I did this wrong, or I am even doing something wrong right now. Let's continue. Let's turn to 2 Corinthians 5. The Bible is full. I want to challenge you, since you know that we'll be teaching on this subject for the next couple weeks. I want to challenge you to read Romans 3 through 9. Read those chapters. There's a lot of references to righteousness. They'll help you prepare to receive the word when you come. Now, I'm not saying David or Autumn will be focusing on those verses of scripture. I have no clue. But I know the Holy Ghost is in all three of us, and he's going to bring it together for us. But I know that those verses, those chapters in the Bible will help you understand it just for your personal study. Okay? So 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Again, what I said earlier, when we receive Christ, when we receive salvation, we're put in a position of right standing with God. God made Christ sin for us so we could be made righteous. So let's read about this. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17, it says, I'm picking this up in the middle. There's a lot. I'm cutting into some of these things. But again, you can go back and read some of the verses of scripture before. This will help bring some clarity of what the writers are talking about, Paul particularly in 2 Corinthians. But he says in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, 17, this means that anyone who belongs to Christ has become a new person. Well, we need to get renewed our mind to that alone. I'm not the Irene that I was prior to 1992. I'm not that person. A lot of times I don't even think about it. I don't even go back there. Sometimes I think when we dredge up our past, I understand we sometimes share things that God did in our lives as a testimony of the goodness of God. And I agree with that. I'm not saying that about this. But I think too much of the time when we identify with who we were, we say we're almost slapping the Lord in the face and saying what you did isn't enough. We magnify that too much is what I'm saying. We need to let that go. We need to let it go. Quit resurrecting those things, that those uglinesses. Again, there's a place for it when you need to share your testimony and help people understand what God, the power of God is, and he does magnificently display himself through us in our conversion of what we were and who we are. But try not to mention those things about what the little stinker you used to be or I was. I mean, we say that, but sometimes we shouldn't magnify it too much because it just, I think it's grievous to the Father, because it's not how he sees us now. He sees us right, and he don't see that. So hope you understand what I mean by that. Anyway, this means that anyone who belongs to Christ has become a new person. The old life is gone and a new life has begun. And all of this is a gift from God. This is a gift from God, all of this. This new life is a gift from him who brought us back to himself through Christ. It was through Christ. He brought us back to him, to the Father, through Christ. Through the life of Christ, we have been reinstated to the Father through Christ. We get it? We're reinstated to the Father through Christ. None of this, we don't jump over what Jesus did. It's everything about what Jesus did. That's why if you don't accept Jesus, none of this is available. It's all about Jesus, all about what he did. The Father, man, Jesus is right there. And he's the connector of us. And God has given us this task of reconciling people to him. One of the reasons that we must understand that we are righteous is because when we understand that we are righteous in this humble state, that God, you reinstated me, I'm going to go tell other people. God's not mad at you. God loves you. God wants a relationship with you. It's going to compel you to tell other people about this relationship. and that they can have it. God's not angry with you. I know you did that, but he's not angry with you. He made a way for you to come to him. It's called the new birth. And he reinstates you because he loves you. And because he loves you, he wants a relationship with you. He gave it all. He gave it all. He gave his son. He gave his only son because he wants this relationship to be restored between you and me. Him and you. Him and you. He wants that relationship restored. He gave it all. He's reinstating you. This is what you're going to tell people when you understand you're righteous. It's not all about the Bless Me You Club. It's about now that you know in this humble place, you reinstated me. You're going to reinstate David. You reinstated Tina. You reinstated these people just like you did me. I got to tell people you're not mad at them anymore. Do you understand that? You'll tell people. You'll want to tell people. Otherwise, you're like, well, yeah, I go to church. Yeah, sometimes I hear something from him. Well, you know, I didn't do that right. God's mad at me. Oh, no, no. That's evidence. Evidence that you're not understanding. You're righteous. God's not mad at you. He never gets mad at you. He loves you. Loves you and me. He loves us. He's not angry. If he was angry with you, he wouldn't have sent his son for you and me. He just wouldn't have done it. He's not mad at you. Get over yourself. We have to get over ourselves. No, you're not mad at me, Lord. Yes, I screwed up. Yes, I did that wrong. Yes, but I know the path back to you. And let it be settled. Let it be settled. Move on. Don't allow the enemy to drudge you back through that sin, drudge you back through that mess, pull you here, pull you there to the place where you're defeated. Because that's what will happen. You'll live a defeated life. All because you stepped out of your place of righteousness and allowed the enemy to wreak havoc in your life to tell you you're no good, you're a sinner, you're this, you're that, you're that. No. I am the righteousness of God in Christ. Nothing I did. Oh, no. I can't. You can't. It's what he did. Allow the revelation to come as I speak the word of truth to you. For God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, no longer counting people's sins against them. Aren't you thankful? He's no longer counting people's sins against them. What a good God we serve. Why are you counting your sins against you? God's not. And he gave us this wonderful message of reconciliation. So we are Christ's ambassadors. God is making his appeal through us. We speak for Christ when we plead. Come back to God. Here's that ministry of reconciliation that God's called us to, that I believe we function at a better level and we understand we're righteous. So we're going to compel people, come back to God. For God made Christ, who never sinned. This is what he made Christ to be, who never sinned. He made Christ to be the offering for our sin. Praise the Lord. He took it. He took it. For God made Christ, who never sinned, to be the offering for our sins, so that the sin was placed on Christ, everything was placed on Christ, so that we could be made right with God through Christ. You're right before God through Christ. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Romans 4. I trust your silence is the wheels turning. The Lord speaking to your heart. Romans 4. Let, you know, the scripture talks about the washing of the water by the word. As you hear these verses and as you see it in your Bible, I trust it's washing some religious teaching out. Some wrong teaching out. Some misconceptions out. Thank you, Father, for washing our minds of things that are wrong, erroneous against your word, Father. We thank you for this washing of your word right now. Thank you, Father. Romans 4, 21. Look at this. So we know that we were made righteous, that God made Christ sin for us so we could be made righteous. So sin was placed on the body of Christ as he hung there, which we understand that to some level. But I want you to look at this. Romans 4, 21. But now God has shown us a way to be made right with him without keeping the requirements of the law. Aren't you glad? As was promised in the writings of Moses and the prophets long ago. We are made right with God. Here's how we're made. By being made right with God. Here's how. By placing our faith in Jesus Christ. And this is true for everyone who believes, no matter who we are. If you are a person who puts their faith in Christ, you're made right. For everyone, verse 23, for everyone has sinned. We all fall short of God's glorious standard. Yet God, with undeserved kindness, declares that we are righteous. He declares we are righteous. God, the creator of heaven and earth, the God who's created us. Guess what he said? He said he declares you righteous. When you act any way different, you're going against what he says. Oh my. Forgive us, Lord. He did this through Christ Jesus when he freed us from the penalty of our sins. For God presented Jesus as a sacrifice for sin. People are made right with God when they believe. Again, we hear this again. We're made right when we believe that Jesus sacrificed his life. Do you believe Jesus sacrificed his life? Shed his blood. Do you believe Jesus shed his blood? This sacrifice shows that God was being fair when he held back and did not punish those who sinned in times past. For he was looking ahead and including them in what he would do in this present time. God did this to demonstrate his righteousness, for he himself is fair and just, and he declares sinners to be right in his sight when they believe in Jesus. I've shared several scripture that is saying that God declares you righteous. God made you righteous. Why are we not agreeing with the word? Some of it's ignorance. Some of it's lack of revelation of it. But I hope we're seeing it today. When you know that you're righteous. Well, let me say this here. When we know that we're righteous, there's some things that are imparted to us. And this is why we need to know that we are righteous. We need to know that we're righteous because we understand the nature of the Father imparted to us. And then we'll know that those verses of scripture maybe that you know that we're more than conquerors. When you know you're righteous, I am more than a conqueror. Again, these things come as a result of you knowing your right standing with the Father. So therefore, you can be more than a conqueror because it's not you. It's him. Amen. And so Ephesians chapter 2, let's look here. One of the other things that when we understand that we understand that we have been made righteous. Because we need to understand this. We need to know that we're righteous. I get my other verse. We need to know that we're righteous. And when we do know that, when that becomes clearer to us, these things become alive in us. So we know that we're more than a conqueror. But one of the other things we'll know is that chapter 2, verse 4, but God so rich in mercy, he loved us so much that even though we were dead because of our sins, he gave us life. Hold on a minute, I'm in the wrong version. I got to read this out of the New King James. But God, who is rich in mercy because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, he made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved. And he raised us up together, and he made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ. When you know that you're righteous, you know where you're seated. You know you're seated in heavenly places. And let's look over at chapter 1 of it. We've talked a lot about this in our authority class, so I have to pull this in, because when you know you're righteous, you know your authority in Christ. And so, like I said, they go hand in hand. And we've been talking a lot. We pray this prayer, the Ephesian prayer, every time we start our authority class. We have been. But I want to just point out this. When you're seated, right? When the revelation of your position, your right standing with the Father, you're humbled by the fact that God sees you as right. He's not holding your sin against you. You stand there before him boldly in his presence. Hebrews says it in Hebrews 4:16, we can come boldly into the throne of grace. How can you come boldly to the throne of grace if you don't understand you're righteous? Somebody have an answer for me? Will you come boldly? Will you come boldly to the Father if you don't know you're righteous? I couldn't. If you can, good for you. You understand this? These scriptures, these things, you can't do if you don't know who you are. I don't think you can. You won't function as Christ called you to function. You just won't. You won't be bold. Let me tell you this. Now, let me tell you what the word says about this. I got to start at the beginning. This is a prayer, an Ephesian prayer. Let me just start where it begins. Paul prayed this for the Ephesian church, which we can pray for ourselves. He said, Ephesians 1:16, do not cease to give thanks for you, make mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you the spirit of wisdom and revelation and knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling, what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power toward us who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated in him at his right hand in heavenly places. Where are you seated? We're seated with him. Guess where we're seated at? Far above. Look at the next verse. 21. Far above. Oh, I said this in our authority class. I'm going to say it here because it's good and it stirs me up. We're far above. We're not just above. We're far above. Far. God does things so great and magnificent. I mean, he doesn't just do these little things. He does above it. He does it. He's not just saying you're a conqueror. He says you're more than a conqueror. He don't say you can just do impossible things. He says all things are possible to him that believe. I mean, we serve this God who's just not a little bit here. No, it's grandiose. He does things in grand style for his people who he loves. Oh, he's so good. You're so good to us, Father. So he seated us in heavenly places far above. Guess what we're far above? These principalities, these powers, these mights and dominions and names. Guess what? You're above it. You're above it. Will you operate in this place seated far above if you don't know you're righteous? Will you take authority over the things that are hassling you, these principles? In our nation, oh my word, in our nation right now, if the body of Christ was operating in their place of righteousness, seeing themselves, we would not be in the place we're at. Because we'd be taking authority over these principalities. We would be bold and we would stand and say, oh, no, 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 you lying devil. You're not having this blessed nation whose God is Lord. You'll stand boldly because you know that you can. Number one, because you're righteous. But the body of Christ has been squelched by the lies of the enemy. And these principalities and these powers and these mights and these dominions that we are seated far above are running havoc, not only in our world and in a country, but in the body of Christ, keeping us suppressed, depressed, down, inactive, inoperative. We're not standing boldly to the Father saying, no, 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 you can't have my children. We're not standing boldly saying, you're not going to wreck my marriage. No, no, no. You won't stand in that strong place and operate in the authority that Christ's given you because you're too caught up in yourself. You don't understand this place and this position of right standing that you stand in boldly. Oh, I thank you, Father, that I am the righteousness of God in Christ. He can't have my children. I don't know about your children, but he can't have mine. And he's not going to have one of my grandchildren. He's tried to wreak havoc in my children, but he isn't. He's a defeated foe. He's defeated foe. I can say that boldly because I know that I'm the righteousness of God in Christ. But you know what? If you just sit and think about it, if you just sit and ponder this, and you do nothing about it, you don't operate in your place, in your position that you're called to, nothing will happen. When you know you're righteous, you stand up and you fight. You stand up and you go. You stand up and you say, because you're righteous. Otherwise, you sit in the seat of defeat. Oh, I hope you're getting this. I hope you're getting what I'm saying. I mean, I'm ready to take off running. I'll kick these shoes off and go. Because I'll tell you, God is good. He's faithful. He wants us to rise up as the church. He don't want us suppressed, depressed. But if you don't know you're righteous, you're staying there. You're staying at a level that's way below what he's called you to be. Oh, church, let's stand up. That's enough for you today. I have more, but we're done. We're done. We got to get a hold of this. Oh, we thank you, Lord. We thank you, Father, that you've called us to a place before you, in your presence. We thank you, Father God, for the authority that we are seated in heavenly places. Father, I ask you. I ask you, Lord, to just fill us with understanding, revelation, knowledge of this place that you've called us to be in as righteous. You made us righteous, Father. Oh, may we receive it, Lord. May we receive the totality of what that means in our spirit. I thank you, Lord. Oh, I thank you, Father. If you're here today and you don't know Jesus, I invite you to come. I want to pray with you today and walk you into this wonderful kingdom that makes you righteous. If you've walked away from him, I invite you to come so we can be reinstated in that relationship. It's very simple, very quick. This altar is open. This altar is an altar of his presence. A reconciling place to get your heart right with God. Your relationship where it needs to be. So you can be who God's called you to be. Thank you, Lord. God is good. Praise your name, Lord. Praise your name, Lord. Let's just pray together. Father, I thank you for your word today. humble ourselves before you. Oh, Father, we thank you that you've made us righteous. Thank you, Father. You're so faithful to us. Thank you, Father. Father, I ask your blessing on your people today. So we go from here, Lord. I thank you for what you've called them to accomplish for your glory today. I thank you for the revelation of truth in your word that's come to their spirit today. And I declare that their hearts are good ground. That seed that has been sown of your word into their hearts is going to produce fruit today. Father, I ask you to bless them and strengthen them as they go forth from this place in the power and the anointing of your Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. If there's any way I can pray with you, I'd be happy to. May God bless your week. Good being with you.